Have you ever entered a room and suddenly forgot why you wanted to enter the room in the first place? Or perhaps you had planned to drop off a letter on your way back from work, but ended up just driving home the way you always do instead. These are examples of a failure of prospective memory, which is the ability to remember to do something in the future. There are different types of prospective memory. However, my research centers around event-based prospective memory, which is the ability to remember to do something after a specific event has occurred in the future. There are two main components of prospective memory, the prospective memory cue and the prospective memory intention. The prospective memory cue is the object that triggers one to remember to fulfill the intention, and the prospective intention is the event that you wish to complete in the future. Prospective memory is very prevalent in our daily lives, yet it is surprisingly difficult to successfully do. For example, one study by author Terry in 1988, published in the journal Psychological Reports, found that approximately 64% of memory failures in adults' daily lives were because of prospective memory failures. One reason for this difficulty in successfully performing a prospective memory task is because it relies not just on your ability to remember to what you had to do, but also being able to switch your attention from what you are currently doing, which the researchers like to call the ongoing task, to the prospective memory task. This ability to switch one's attention is part of a series of cognitive abilities called executive functions. But for the sake of time, I will merely say that better executive functioning is related to better prospective memory performance. Because prospective memory is so difficult to be able to successfully do, yet so necessary for independent life, the neural mechanisms underlying prospective memory has been well researched. For example, researchers West and Krominger in 2005 published a study in the journal Neuropsychologica that determined through EEG recordings that the N300 waveform appears to be activated when people detect the prospective memory cue, whereas increased late positivity activation in the occipital regions of the brain appear to occur when people remember the prospective intention. In other words, remember what it is that they had to do in the future. However, it is important to note that the context of the prospective memory task you are completing matters in terms of what brain regions are activated during the process. Meta-analyses published in the journal Scientific Reports in 2016 by Kona and colleagues indicate that there are different cognitive processes involved when someone is doing a prospective memory task that has a prospective memory cue in the focal of their attention compared to when the prospective memory cue is non-focal. It has been found by Bisiacci and colleagues in 2008 in their paper using behavioral and EEG data published in the journal Neuropsychologica that during prospective memory tasks with a focal prospective memory cue, activation in the left anterior prefrontal cortex is associated with successfully remembering to fulfill the prospective memory intention. The cerebellum and various ventral parietal regions of the brain appear to activate when one successfully remembers to fulfill a prospective memory intention in the non-focal task. There are also different brain regions associated with being able to successfully monitor one's environment in order to initially detect the prospective memory cue in focal versus non-focal tasks. Activation of the precuneus is important for monitoring the environment in non-focal prospective memory tasks, and the inferior parietal lobe is important for monitoring the environment during focal prospective memory tasks. It is thought that these differences in cognitive processes for focal and non-focal prospective memory tasks indicate that when the prospective memory cue is more focal, it relies on more automatic bottom-up type processing to complete the task. Whereas when the prospective memory cue is non-focal, it relies more on active top-down processing. As you can imagine, it is much more difficult to be able to successfully fulfill a prospective memory intention when the prospective memory cue is non-focal, hence why it relies on more top-down processing, because naturally it is harder to detect something that is in the peripheral of your attention as opposed to if it is embedded within the center of your attention, like with focal cues. However, much of this research on prospective memory has been conducted on adults. Thus, it is less clear if within young childhood the same neural mechanisms are being used, or if, since the brain is still developing, if there are different regions being utilized to complete the same tasks. That said, it has been found across various studies, such as those by Zolig and colleagues in the journal Neuropsychologica in 2007, and Mailer and Logie in the Quarterly Journal of Experimental Psychology in 2010, that prospective memory develops in an inverted U-shape across the lifespan, with the worst prospective memory performance occurring in young childhood and older adulthood, and peaking in performance in adulthood. This supports the idea that since neural development and prospective memory performance do have similar developmental trajectories across the lifespan, it is likely the same neural mechanism being utilized throughout the lifespan, just with limited efficiency in the early and late stages of life. With this assumption in mind, many studies on prospective memory in children rely solely on behavioral data for their conclusions. Often, prospective memory tasks are tested in children using a type of prospective memory card sorting task that involves children being told to sort a series of cards based off of one defining trait and to do a novel action for a subset of those cards. For example, Kliegel and Jaeger, in their 2007 paper published in the journal Cognitive Development, gave children a stack of cards and had them name the object that was depicted on each card as they flipped through them. This was the ongoing task. They were told that whenever they see a picture of an apple, so apple acted as the prospective cue, that they were to put those cards in a separate box that was directly under the table that they sat at. This was the prospective intention. I used a similar but slightly modified type of task in my study as well. One main question I had in my study was whether or not children are aware of how the difficulty of a prospective memory task impacts their prospective memory performance. One way I analyzed this self-awareness of their prospective memory, called metamemory, was by having children make predictions and reflections, called postdictions, before and after a prospective memory card sorting task. I also made an easier and more difficult version of a card sorting task by manipulating how salient the prospective memory cue, of which there were four, was compared to the other cards in the deck, to see if children in the more difficult condition would be more conservative with their predictions and reflections on how well they do. 4 to 6 year old children were told to sort a series of animal cards based off of a colored dot on the bottom of the card. This is the ongoing task. Children were told that whenever they see a picture of an elephant, which was the prospective cue, they should put them in a separate box that was directly behind them. This was the prospective intention. Children were also asked to predict and later reflect on how many of the four elephants they thought they would or had successfully remembered to put in the box behind them. In my study, despite almost all children across all ages and conditions predicting that they would remember to put all four elephants in the box behind them, they only had approximately a 50% success rate in actually doing so. Also, although children were still very optimistic, their postdictions were significantly more accurate and related to their actual performance. Interestingly, the difficulty of the task was not only significantly impacting children's performance, but also significantly related to their postdictions as well. This means that children seem to be more accurate in reflecting compared to predicting their prospective memory performance, and seem to only be aware of the effect of difficulty on a task after the fact as well. However, what is most exciting is that they do appear to be aware of the difficulty of a prospective memory task, even at 4 years old. My research has other topics of interest as well, such as executive functioning and its relation to prospective memory, but those topics will have to be discussed at some other time. Thank you for listening.